And they said she was looking for a flower. And of course, my husband said, why is she looking for a flower 2.5 hours before we're going to play in a district championship game?
Welcome to Castle's Corner Podcast, and thank you for joining me. I am your host, Tommy Castle. If you don't know by now, I'm a sports multimedia journalist and staff writer with the Metro West Daily News and Milford Daily News. You can also find my work in the Needham Times and Wellesley Townsman sports sections, and you can also follow me on Twitter at TommyCastle44. This week, I am proud to bring you two members of the Division I state champion Milford softball team. One is the Scarlet Hawks coach, and the other is their star pitcher. They are Steve DeVito and Allie Atherton, and they are state champions. Steve and Allie, thank you for joining Castle's Corner. Are you guys still on cloud nine after winning a state title?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm still not used to hearing that we're state champions. It still hasn't hit me at all, and I think that it won't for a couple of weeks because I still feel like I should go to practice later on today or this weekend I'm going to have to go to practice, but it just doesn't feel like it's over.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride over the last couple of months, and to culminate it with a state championship with this group is pretty tremendous, and the run that they were on is outstanding. It's kind of funny. Allie has never seen me cry, and I think I've cried more in the last 2 days than I have in the 4 years that she has known me. So it's a really great accomplishment, and we're definitely still on cloud nine.
Well, after Allie pitched a complete game shutout in Milford's 4-0 win over Newton North in the Division I state semifinals, she told me afterwards that coming in freshman year, everyone was talking about Shannon Smith leaving and how we could never be here again. But all the seniors and everyone on this team worked so hard. Coach DeVito wanted to get us here since my freshman year, and 4 years later, we're finally here. Here was the state championship game on June 17th as Milford won 7-3 over Wachusett. It didn't look great off the bat for the Scarlet Hawks, however, as they trailed 3-0 going into the bottom of the second. What was going through your head at that point, Allie?
I just knew that if I could hold them for the rest of the game, that my team would come through and hit off this girl, because they've come through for me in every other game that we played. So I had so much confidence in them the rest of the game.
In Jerry Keene's game recap, he said despite the tough second inning, Atherton found her rhythm as the game went on, retiring 16 of the final 19 batters she faced. In all, she allowed 3 runs on 6 hits with no walks and 1 strikeout. With her defense making the plays behind her. Steve, what did you tell the girls in the huddle, and what did you see unfold the rest of the way?
Well, the first thing I said to Elliot, that looked her right in the face, I said, they're done. They've gone through their allotted amount, and they're all done for the night. And, we said this on the bus ride up, which was, there were going to be peaks and valleys throughout this game. And I think the big thing was, we were approaching that valley for us in that moment. So we needed to just ride the wave where it was, find a way to chip away and come back with the bats. It's a long way to go, and keep our head, keep it, level, and they did just that.
They sure did. Milford's Valley actually came in its first game of the season on April 11th, a loss to Taunton on the road. Since that game, the Scarlet Hawks managed to reel off 25 straight wins, ending with the Division I state championship on June 17th. How did you do it, Allie?
Basically, the team just works so hard every single day, and we never let it get to our head. And I think that one thing that really helped us for the rest of the season was that before every inning, we would all get to the mound, all the infielders, and we would just say to stay grounded every single inning, every single batter, because we knew that if we started to think about what our record was or what the score was or who we were beating game after game, that we would just let it get to our head and we wouldn't be able to play our game anymore. So we just stayed grounded the whole season up until the last inning.
You sure stayed grounded, and for 25 straight, that's pretty impressive. Steve, have you ever been part of a team with that kind of run?
I would say outside of my little league team, when I was 12 years old, we went 22-0 to win the town championship, and maybe the Allegiant team in 2014 when we won, I think it was 21 of 23 there. But no, I think the bigger thing with this group was, there was never any talk about how many wins in a row there was or what our record was at that point. It was just show up to the field and do their job every day. And they did it pretty well. And obviously it shows in our record and our performance. And, it was just a group that was fun to be around, fun to come to the field with. They enjoyed playing with each other. They enjoyed playing the game and working hard every day, like Ali said. And yeah, there was never really any talk of that winning streak at all.
It's funny that you mentioned Little League and Legion, since Steve is now in his fourth year coaching the Milford Legion baseball team and also graduated from Milford in 2003. Steve grew up playing sports with Cleveland Indians AAA first baseman Chris Colabello and also WEEI's broadcast voice Chris Villani. Steve, it seems like you're part of the who's who in Milford. Tell me about growing up with those characters and many others.
Well, you know, I had a great friend group growing up when I was in Milford. You know, I think back to a lot of guys that are involved in sports now. Obviously, you mentioned Chris and Chris. But, you know, Brian Casey, who's the associate head coach at William & Mary baseball team in Virginia. You know, I think back to a bunch of other guys that I grew up with, Mike Colelli, Mark Delvecchio, Kevin Breen, Ray Barley. You know, we were always involved in athletics, and, you know, you know, I always remember one thing always sticks in my mind is that we spent our money that we worked with in getting floodlights and building a wiffle ball field in Mark's backyard, and we spent our weekends in the summer, whether or not down the Cape, but playing ball in the backyard and playing night ball in the back, and that's what we did for fun. You know what I mean? That's what we found enjoyable, to always be around sports. And you know, it was it's a tight-knit town that we have. It's a very tight-knit group, and still close with all those guys. So it's you know, it's real enjoyable to be able to share this with them too.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Castle's Corner.
And we're back here at Castle's Corner podcast. It's funny that you mentioned town again, Steve, because the last quote that Daily News writing legend Lenny Maglioli used in his article on you in April was, "I love my town." So it also turns out that between you two, there's a deeper connection in Milford and the town.
Sure is.
Just past these 4 years, but further on down the road between both Steve and Allie, there's connections there. And Steve, can you elaborate a little bit on those?
Yeah. When Allie was about my son's age, actually, her dad was my high school football coach in 2001-2002. So, you know, I remember her dad is as a confidant, a guy that I could go to and really talk about anything with. You know, I really respected Coach Atherton when he was my coach in high school, and you know, it's kind of ironic that here we are, you know, down the road, 13, 14 years later. You know, I'm able to coach his daughter, and you know, I see a lot of her dad in Allie, the same type of demeanor, the same type of no nonsense attitude, but does it in style. And you know, obviously she takes a lot after her dad for the way that he is and the great guy that he is. And you know, I do remember Coach Atherton, and I just love playing for him.
Allie, what was it like growing up with a football coach and having to come full circle now, having his former player now coach you?
Yeah, it's crazy how Milford works and how everyone's connected in some way. But yeah, when Coach DeVito first told me that my dad was his football coach my freshman year, I honestly didn't believe him at first. But yeah, growing up, I just spent all my time at the football fields, and my dad also coached baseball in Ashland, so my mom always talks about how we were there Friday nights every night, and just watching him coach all the his past players.
Steve, you also mentioned to me off air the relation that Allie's little brother has with your son Luca. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the big thing here with that too is that just another connection between the two of us is that you know, my son goes to all the games with my wife Nicole, and Luca loves going down to the games, and you know, he loves seeing the girls and sometimes seeing dad, but he lives for going to the games. Every day he'll ask, "Is Ryan going down the game?" Allie's younger brother, and he's almost like his pseudo brother, his older brother, and Ryan's he's so good with Luca and treats him like he is his brother. But it's just, again, it's just another example of Milford and how close we are and the connections that we make. And you know, I'm just thrilled that my son has someone like Ryan Atherton coming from a great family to be able to look, to view as someone that he kind of looks up to a little bit at the young age of four.
well, now the Atherton family will have to drive Allie all the way up to Southern New Hampshire, or maybe she'll get her own car. But Allie, fresh off her freshman orientation today at Southern New Hampshire University, will look to continue her winning ways in college after sporting an impressive 0.86 ERA, a 17-1 record, and 88 strikeouts during her senior season. Allie, is it possible for you to replicate those kind of stats next year?
She's gonna be really, really, really. She's not gonna give herself any credit here. So I'm gonna fill this in after.
Well, I'm just gonna work hard all summer, like I have been in the past, the off seasons. But I know that if I work hard all summer, I can really get up to the level that those girls are pitching at. And I'm just gonna wait for my time really there. I'm gonna show the coach what I can do, and hopefully I can continue my success there.
It's kind of funny, whenever Allie would get into a little bit of a rhythm or out of a rhythm, the thing that we always used to use was angry Allie. When Allie used to pitch a little angry or a little bit more determined, it always seemed like she had another level to go to. And I think the folks up in Southern New Hampshire are going to notice that too. When she's determined, she puts her mind to something, there isn't a whole lot that's going to get in her way.
You should patent Angry Allie, kind of like Angry Birds, maybe a little bit of a mascot.
Double A, I mean, it kind of matches, right? Double A.
Oh, yeah.
That's your nickname, right? Double A, that's what they call you?
Yeah, Coach Walsh actually just realized that Double A could be my nickname at the second to last game. But, I definitely do step it up when I am angry. I try to bring it there every single game, but for some reason, there's always another level for me. When someone says something that bothers me or I see something right before the game, it sticks with me until the last inning, and I just can't shake it.
Or during the game when someone else will go warm up. She doesn't like that either. Or when Coach DeVito comes out to the mound to talk to her. She doesn't like that either.
Yeah, go back to your bench, Coach. Don't come out here. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Angry Allie, we like it. Well, Allie, moving to a different level of relationships in Milford softball, I heard you guys had some serious guarding skills as a team that turned into quite the superstition throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, definitely. It started at the beginning of the season where we realized that there were so many dandelions all around the outfield. And after we would run around the field, we would get in a huddle and start stretching. And someone would pick a flower up from the grass, and we'd pass it around everyone, and everyone had to kiss the flower, and that they couldn't drop it. If it touched the ground, that'd be bad luck for the rest of the game. You'd have to restart. And then it would always go to the left, and Kate Irwin, our center fielder, would have to finish with it and like kick it over her shoulder. And that just turned into our superstition for the regular season and even the playoffs, that we had to do that or else we thought something horrible would happen.
Well, the crazy part about this is, you know, I see Kate Irwin before our Silver Lake game running around in the outfield, and I remember asking the girls, is she all right? Is everything okay? And they said she was looking for a flower. And, of course, my husband said, why is she looking for a flower 2.5 hours before we're going to play in a district championship game? And then they explained it to me, and I'm kind of starting to wonder if the superstitions that I have are wearing off on the girls that I coach. So, but, hey, whatever it takes to get the job done, and that's just another example of this group.
So, you mentioned having a little trouble finding the good luck flower, let's call it, before the Silver Lake game. That was a team which the Scarlet Hawks really wanted to prevail against after losing back-to-back playoff games to the Lakers in 2015 and 2016. Allie, what was it like to finally prevail against Silver Lake in the playoffs this year?
Well, before this year, I hadn't beaten them since my sophomore year, and they had kicked us out twice during playoffs, and it's just a great feeling finally being able to reach that point you wanted to against a certain team. And we all knew that it'd be hard for them to beat a team 3 times in a row, especially at our level. And so finally coming out there and showing people that we are as good as Silver Lake, if not better, was just a great way to end my senior year.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Castle's Corner.
And we're back here at Castle's Corner podcast. You speak about your signature win being during the 2015 campaign against Silver Lake. For you guys, I know you were trying to push the level to another level that year, Steve. And I know this state championship is a result of that sophomore season moving forward, and then 4 years of hard work between both you and this group of a senior class, three girls in the senior class, correct?
Yes.
So what was it like to see this season finally culminate for Allie and this group of seniors with some serious hardware?
I'm going to forewarn that this is a very difficult topic for me to talk about the three seniors. When you have a group of girls that are not just excellent softball players, but great people at the same time, and you watch them grow for 4 years, both athletically and academically, from, you know, as Allie had said that she really didn't speak much when she was a freshman, to being, you know, the leader of this team. It's emotional because it's happy emotions, but you, you've been through thick and thin. You heard naysayers when they walked in as freshmen, and of course you don't want your girls to hear that. You want them to, you know, you try and put that that dome over them so they only focus on themselves and not worry about what everyone else is saying, the outsiders or people that don't know what happens. But to finally see it finish in this light, it's a I told you I wasn't going to get through this.
Well, you know what, Steve? I think you said it plenty. And Allie, this is not the first time you've seen your coach cry in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
He mentioned that you didn't talk much to him your freshman year. What was up with that?
I just didn't want to step on anyone's toes, being that the freshman pitcher that comes in after such a great pitcher, Shannon Smith, in the 2012 and 2013 state championships. I didn't want to say anything, or I didn't want to say the wrong thing, or I didn't want to do the wrong thing to make people look down on the team or look down on myself. And I didn't want him to think that, or to get the wrong image of me being a freshman. So I just kind of laid back for my first year, kind of my second year as well, and kind of learned from the captains before me and Coach DeVito. And finally, my senior year, I was able to open up, even my junior year as well. So, yeah.
You mentioned nerves being a thing for you, not in the playoffs, except your Hopkinton game.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about how you finally overcame those your senior year?
Mm-hmm. Well, my first 3 years, I was a very nervous pitcher, and I think I hit it well, but I would go home the day before the games, and I would sit in my room until like 1 a.m., and I would look up stats from all the teams that we were going to play, the team that we were going to play the next day. If it was Franklin, I would look up their past like two seasons and see how these girls were hitting the ball. I would look up the day, like the games that they played earlier in the season, and I would try and find out what girls really stood out. And that just made me so nervous going into the games, because I would think about, oh, this girl can hit this pitch, this girl did this, but they're facing different pitchers and they're facing different teams. So I finally realized my senior year that that was my roadblock mentally and physically, that that's what was getting in my head. And so senior year, this past season, I didn't look up any stats. I didn't try and figure out anything about the team. I just went out there and I pitched my game, and that really helped me, and I think it showed. But before the Hopkinton playoff game, that was the one time that I was nervous, and it really showed in the way that I was throwing the ball, and I was pitching very defensively to them, and I didn't want to throw certain pitches because we faced them in previous years. I knew what those girls could do, so I think that it being such a big game and me knowing them because they were a neighboring town, it just really got in my head. So the next two playoff games, I just told myself I wasn't going to be nervous. I wasn't nervous even for the state championship game, because I knew the second I thought about what was on the line, it was going to mess me up.
And I think the big thing too is that this is just like another example, she just said, of her growing up from where she was and becoming that leader and taking it to another level. And it's just another example of the type of kid she is.
Yeah, and in the end, nerves or not, there wasn't many roadblocks in Milford or your way to complete this miraculous season on a 25-game winning streak, taking a Division I state championship trophy back to 31 West Fountain Street in Milford. You mentioned the gold ball going up on the the big board out in, was it right field out in Milford?
Right behind home plate. Right behind home plate facing out to West Fountain Street.
Well, Steve, you'll be able to see the gold ball be added in person as you are an alternative program coordinator at Milford High School. And maybe you can see it as well, Allie, if you come back from Southern New Hampshire University when they do put it up on the big board. I know we'll be following Steve and his Milford Legion baseball team this summer. But Allie, good luck with fall ball and also during your softball season next spring. And thank you both for joining me here today on Cast the Corner Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
I also want to thank my producer, Caitlin Kelleher, for all of her work behind the scenes. Be sure to subscribe to Cast's Corner Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, while also checking in every Wednesday for a new Cast's Corner Podcast. If you have any ideas, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at TommyCastle44, as I look forward to bringing you closer to all those who make high school sports great in the Metro West area. Thanks again for joining me here on Cast's Corner Podcast, and until next time, I'm Tommy Castle, and thanks for checking in.